This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
The intro, right?
Oh yeah, that's okay. Right. Our awkward intro. Okay. Hi.
Hey, welcome back.
We can never get it.
Like, you know what? This is just going to be part of the shtick.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome guys. To Funny Medicine.
Yeah, this is Funny Medicine. I'm Evie.
I'm Julie.
And we're the host of this.
Yeah.
Awkward funny podcast.
Our intros, I mean, we are 89 episodes in and we have just started very recently.
That's crazy.
89 episodes in and we just recently started doing intros. And so it's still awkward and we're still working on it. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And also the point of our intro was so like people that are first time
listeners
can know who we are. And we do nothing by saying Evie and Julie.
nothing. I just to
instead of being like, "Hi, I'm Yvette, board certified pediatric."
Yeah, but that's like in our profile. You're not gonna say that every time.
No, I'm not gonna say that every time.
Exactly. That's why it's like just so they could identify which voice is who.
Exactly.
For those that are not watching,
this voice is Evie.
Yeah, this voice is Julie.
Awkward thumbs up. Oh, God. I'm literally turning into an attending that I used to make fun of. But anyway, I love her though.
There I go. It was crooked this whole time because, of course, I just, for those of you only listening, the camera was crooked and I just realized it just now. But that's how we roll here. That's how we roll here. I was just telling Evie when she pulled up, I'm like, so this is what my biology degree got me. All this, me trying to produce this with a million lights,
I mean, it's both talented.
No, it's a mess. It's a work. Like, look at this. Look at this room.
I know.
It's like a... I don't even know why.
I love it.
There's like so many cables. The dogs almost took it out.
Yes. That was quite the moment.
Yeah. Cameras weren't rolling, thank God, or whatever. But
we should have had them rolling, though, because that was really funny. It was just all the dogs coming in, Newman, Brownie, getting caught in the wires. I finally opened the door to one side. He wanted to go to the other side. Then he wanted to come back to this side. And then he got stuck and then got stuck again.
Yep. Newman's a lot more gentle.
Yeah.
Brownie's a bull in a china shop, and the china shop where all this whole production that was already set up.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get into the episode. This episode, we're going to be talking about something that is unfortunately very, very hot right now in the news and everybody's minds. And
I think it's a good topic to talk about, though.
Yeah. I mean, something that we were going to cover regardless, especially because it's very peds oriented, too. And for those of you that didn't know, she's a board certified pediatrician. So we're talking about measles.
Yes.
Okay. And if you're listening to this, you probably already heard our autism episodes, autism 1 and 2. And before we jump into this, because it kind of still has something to do with it, with the MMR vaccines of it all and whatnot.
It's kind of crazy because we did not plan that.
We did not.
We actually had another episode scheduled for today.
Yep.
But we had already planned on covering autism.
Exactly.
But then the whole entire measles outbreak in Texas.
And then just yesterday, the CDC now doing a study, another study on the vaccine.
On the vaccine.
Yeah. Vaccines and autism. So, I mean.
That's a huge.
It's a topic of a lot of contention. I understand.
That's crazy that happened.
I know. I understand. And I like to be very central with these very like polarizing things. So I understand like the doctors, scientists and all that. They're like, this is a waste of money. There have been numerous studies proving that there's no link. This is a waste of taxpayer money. I get that. I see that. And then, but my devil's advocate here is maybe this is what anti-vaxxers need, because they love RFK.
Yeah.
They love him and they trust him and he's pretty much like their leader at this point right now, right? Of the anti-vaccine community.
Even though he repeatedly says that he's not anti-vaccine. Here's my thing. I find it incredibly weird that because of the Trump associations, and again, our show is not about politics, but here's my take on things. Mm-hmm. I find it incredibly weird. We have research. Mm-hmm. We have studies. Mm-hmm. Okay, we already have that. That already exists.
That's what everybody's saying, yeah.
Right? That already exists, yeah. Right? And now, with all these federal cuts and job cuts and contracts that have been cut and research that has been cut, now all of a sudden we get funding for this new study.
Yeah. So that's why a lot of people are like, that's a big waste of taxpayer money.
I'm just, you know, to see what really is going to come out of this study.
I understand. Yeah. I could see that problem too. I'm hoping that it's actual and it's truthful and there's no bias behind it. We could hope.
Yeah.
We're going to hope. Because if it is like that, if it's a true, if I'm going to be like, if there was truly no bias and it's a real adequate and science-based study with no biases, sure. Right? Then it could be a good thing, because then it could be like, oh, look, this was led by RFK, and it's showing exactly what the other, all the multiple studies have shown, that there is no link.
Yeah.
So that would be the good thing. But we can only hope that if the CDC does it right and it's all kosher and it's by the book, no biases and whatnot, then it'll be fine. But it would play at least in that way, I would hope.
Yeah. And I also hope that he's not going to misconstrue the actual, like, what research is saying, because he is very famous.
Oh, yeah.
For taking someone's research and interpreting it in a completely different way.
Yeah.
For, like, his own...
For his agenda.
Agenda.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. And that's why it's really curious. It's really curious. When I saw that come out just yesterday, we're recording today, March 8th. So that was March 7th when it just went all over the news. It was everywhere. I posted about it and whatever in our socials. I was just like, man, I can only hope, like I said, that this is accurate. So then it could just be like, hey, look, it's real. Like, everybody just take the vaccine. It's what everybody has said is fine. And it's been led by your leader, I guess you could say. Yeah. But I don't know. We got to wait and see. And that's the other thing. Studies could take a long time. So,
what a coincidence. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, so moving on to our topic, it just has to do with our topic because they're going to be testing the MMR vaccines and all that stuff. So that's in the docket. Anyway, so let's start off with just the basics, as we always do. What is even measles? What is it?
So it's a virus. Okay. A really dangerous virus. So measles is basically caused by the measles virus, okay? It's highly contagious. It is an RNA virus as well. There's different types of viruses. This one is classified as an RNA virus, and it belongs to the paramyxo family. It spreads basically through the air when people are infected. So anytime that they cough or they sneeze or they, like, rub their mucus, like, onto something else, it's basically, or breathing just near you, that's how it's basically...
And it's an incredibly contagious virus.
Yeah. It's very, very, very contagious.
Yeah. It's that's one of the problems with the measles, like how easily it is transmitted and it's just spread. And we're going to get more into that.
Yeah. And it's, if you just think about it, every virus is so contagious, right? Mm-hmm. Usually, like, in a regular household, if one person goes down, the rest of the family is, like, usually going down. Yeah. But because the measles virus is also airborne, then that is even more, right? Exactly. So usually people, they're in isolation, right? You can't be breathing the same air as them.
Yeah.
When you go in, the recommendation is to wear an N95.
Right.
But it is a highly contagious virus. If one person is infected, it can basically spread it to maybe 12 to 18 more people, which is way more than the average that we even saw with COVID. It does have that, like, infectious period, which we're going to talk a little bit more later about the different stages of the virus. But basically, you're contagious about 4 days before you start that rash, and then about 4 days after. Even then, I wouldn't even take any chances. But yeah, Jules, what's the history on it?
All right. So a little bit of the history, like, where did this all come from? How common was it even before the vaccines and all that stuff? Measles has been around for centuries. with descriptions of it even in the 9th century Persian text. Okay, so incredibly long time ago. Then also in the 1500s, it hitched a ride with explorers and colonizers, right? So it just, it did a horrible devastation to the indigenous populations that had obviously no immunity. Before the vaccine in 1963, many got measles before age 15, causing around 2.6 million deaths globally each year. Measles was declared eliminated in the US in 2000, meaning no continuous transmission, but imported cases and declining vaccination coverage has brought it back. So why does measles keep popping up? Because global travel brings it across borders, vaccine misinformation,
vaccine hesitancy, not vaccinating.
Yep. Go to our autism, particularly autism part one episode, where we talk about Andrew Wakefield and his fraudulent study that linked the MMR to autism. And then it was debunked, but it's still haunting us still to this day. And then the pandemic disruptions, like the COVID pandemic, led to a lot of missed vaccines, and millions of kids missed those vaccines, and it just perpetuated the lower vaccination rates. And that's where, and then now we're here.
I know. It's very unfortunate. I think it's so like, my brain is running like at a million right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it's really exhausting.
Yeah, I can't even.
It's really exhausting.
You fight that battle every day.
I fight this battle every day. Oh, every day. And it's very, I feel very defeated sometimes, right? Because I always encourage people to do research, but do good research,
right?
Not mommy blogs and
social media.
And yes, the thing is that usually when people take this information from a place that's not credible, right, it usually comes associated with like an emotional story.
100%.
Right? So that emotional story is so, it's so much fear that's instilled to this person.
Yeah.
So sometimes I get them, you know, like as a parent, if I were to hear about something, I'd be like, you know, like, right? Because it is scary.
Of course.
And the last thing you want to do is do something that causes harm to your child, right? But people are so stuck in their ways about this misinformation. And did you see the new RFK, his whole entire children's trust defense that came out like an article with a New York Times that interviewed a doctor that's like helping out with the new measles outbreak?
No.
That's another frustrating thing. But basically, it's just a lot of misinformation. And it's, I feel like they instill hope, like, and we'll talk about it, like vitamin A, right? Because a lot of people now are like, oh yeah, like vitamin A is what we need to give to treat measles.
That's why I included it, because it's been nonstop.
And I'm happy you did.
It.
I'm happy you did. And again, you know, vitamin A, when taken under the advice of a physician and in the right dose, can help. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Right?
How and all that.
And we'll talk about why it helps.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. That's the main point.
Yeah. But it's not the cure.
Right.
Okay. So then they start like bringing in like all these other weird like treatments.
Yeah.
And then it strays people away from professionals, right? Yeah. And then to just do this, like, you know, vitamin A and cod liver oil.
You know, I heard somebody on it's one of these doctors on social media, probably on Threads or whatnot. And it's like, we've been so spoiled with how long we live, how healthy we are these days. Mm-hmm. We've become so spoiled that we forget how it was just 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Just 100 years ago.
Which
not
we'll talk
very
about it because we definitely have data on pre-vaccine era.
Exactly. And so we've become so spoiled about that now we're thinking that we were better off before.
Yes.
Because we didn't know, because we forgot what it was before.
Before, the reason why people would celebrate a child's birthday so much in the early ages is because it was rare for kids to make it past their certain, like a certain amount of birthday, especially under the age of 3 to 5 years old.
And that's why families had large families with lots of kids, because maybe half would pass from measles, smallpox, whatever, polio.
Exactly.
Name it.
Exactly.
Flu.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, but people, we've become such a spoiled...
And no, and not only spoiled, you know,
culture now.
We're spoiled by herd immunity.
Yes.
We're spoiled by that push, that advancement that we made with vaccinations. Mm-hmm. Now we're going back. We're seeing that now.
Yeah.
And not only that, but people are spoiled by survivor bias. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that you are biased because you're a survivor. Okay. Uh-huh. So you're out here saying, I got measles and I did fine and all that stuff. Good for you.
Yeah.
But there are other people that did not have that same course of illness. Yeah. Okay. So just because you survived, good for you, happy for you, you lucked out,
right?
Okay. But that doesn't mean that you can come on your TikTok and say, I'm not going to do it because everyone gets measles in Europe. I have patients that tell me all the time. I have a European, you know, community.
Well, we're going to talk about, you could survive it, but the complications with measles could even happen years after.
Yes, years after. And we'll talk about that too.
We'll talk about that. Because
but just because people don't survive that, it doesn't mean it's safe or it's like not a big deal.
Exactly. Because things could happen to you years later after having survived the virus, which are horrible and very scary things that I recently learned looking into this.
Yes.
I didn't even know about half of the stuff that you could get years later. Yep. But anyways, let's jump into it. So Eve, what are the symptoms?
All right. So the symptoms kind of have certain stages, okay? So we kind of go through like an incubation phase, right? And that's going to be no symptoms. You're just incubating that virus, okay? 7 to 14 days. That's a long time.
A long time.
That's 1 to 2 weeks.
You could even forget at that point.
So imagine how many people you are around, right? So then you go through the prodrome symptoms, right? So prodrome symptoms are like the ones that we are very much familiar with. The high fevers, the cough, the coryza, the conjunctivitis. Coryza just means runny nose. And then this phase, these kids look sick.
Yeah.
Right? They're like miserable.
Yeah.
You know, with these high fevers. Then comes the rash phase.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So then the rash phase is usually a full body rash, starts from head and then works its way down. Okay. And it's not just on your skin, it's in your mouth. So you have these things called coplic spots, okay? So a lot of people actually stop eating because it is so painful, okay? Oh, and it's not just in the mouth, guys. This goes down your esophagus, okay? So people stop eating. They don't want to eat. They're having fevers. They're burning, like basically they're just running on their calories. And a lot of these kids get admitted for dehydration and these kind of secondary complications. And again, good that we live in a, that we don't live in a third world country.
Yeah.
Because in third world countries, when they don't even have IV bags to rehydrate someone, these are the kids that unfortunately do die from these complications.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Anyways, it's basically a red blotchy rash. It basically starts in the headline, works its way down, and then it like kind of merges into each other. So it looks like a very angry rash, okay? Then after you're done with it, usually sometimes it also has like two fevers. Sometimes this, and not a lot of people read into that, but measles is usually like those high fevers. You actually defervesce. For a little bit, defervesce just means that you like kind of break that fever. But then, like, after 1 to 2 days, you go back to having high fevers. It's like a biphasic fever. It's like you go up, you have fever for a few days, and then it goes down, and then it, like, comes up
And it's
again.
Like those really high fevers, too,
Yeah, it's very high fevers. These are really high fevers. Oh, you are miserable. And that's usually, I have never seen measles. Thank God. I hope that I never have to see measles.
That was going to be a question of mine. And that's another thing that people are spoiled about.
Yeah.
Tell me, how many people have actually witnessed measles?
Yeah, so I'm prepared. I've gone over the symptoms. I've literally
looked
at thousands of rashes. Yes, it's here in Florida. I've looked at thousands of rashes and pictures, and I've read up on other pediatricians that have seen this in the past, what they have to say. That's actually where I learned about the biphasic fever, because we did not see this,
Of course.
We learned about it, and it's very important because, again, measles still exists, okay? It's just in the U.S., that was basically eradicated, right? And my then God. We just had, unfortunately, the first death in 10 years from measles, right? Or what people like to say, complications from measles, okay? And I'll talk about that article because there's something else in the article. No, I'm telling you, is really sad. It is really sad how things are turned around. And unfortunately, they turn it around on doctors a lot.
And that's the worst part to me.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are here to help, but then for some reason...
We're not only here to help, but we're expected
to
make it work, right?
Yeah, because when your vitamin A, your cod oil, and all those things fail, then where do they go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, you have complications because things have complications. We have kids that die from flu pneumonia. We have kids that die from RSV. We have kids that end up on ECMO for different types of viruses and bacterial infections and pneumonias and all these things. And guys, we are not God, right?
Right, right.
We try our best, but it is really hard to get you to not cross to the other side.
Exactly, exactly.
So anyways, then you have the last phase, which is basically the recovery phase, if you make it that way. The recovery phase, the virus, it leaves, right? You have now defervesced, you've stopped having the fevers, your rash is starting to go away. However, you have things that people don't talk about, which I'm actually happy that you included it here, is basically that immune amnesia. Mm-hmm. Basically, it wipes out a lot of your B and T cells in your immune system that are responsible for protecting you against things that you already probably got sick with.
Yeah.
But measles is such a dangerous virus that it actually causes your immune system to forget. Right?
So imagine that.
Yeah.
All those years, your whole life's work of protecting you against all of that library of immunity that you developed from all these colds, all these things, chicken pox, whatever. Most of it, depending on the case, because everybody's immune system is different, could get wiped out.
Yep. It could get wiped out. And what happens is that your body, that's a huge inflammatory reaction that your body is having to this really bad virus, right? So imagine your body is just recovering and now you have this immune amnesia where your body cannot remember previous infections. So now you are you're at a predisposition to developing a secondary infection.
Lord.
So you haven't even recovered.
From measles.
From measles.
Yeah.
You might actually still be fighting it. You're just probably like at the other side, right? Like at the end, towards the end. But now you get hit with a secondary infection.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
It's just, and you see that's, you could say, oh, it wasn't directly measles. It was a complication. Well, it was caused by measles in that case. Like, let's say in this hypothetical case, right, that it was you had measles, then it wiped out your immune system to whatever B virus that you got after that. And then that B virus caused such a sickness to you as you were getting out of measles that you ended up passing.
Yep.
So, oh, no, but it was because of that B virus. Technically, it was because measles removed that immunity that you already had, which if it didn't, you would have had that B virus and you probably would have been fine. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, really? Like, you know, look at the train here, you know, but people.
And again, like, I don't want to, you know, we're not here to like push out like misinformation because I know a lot of people are going to be like, that is super rare for it to happen. It is rare, right? It is not like every patient is going to have a immune amnesia.
Yeah, yeah.
However, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it does happen, actually.
Right, right.
Right? Enough that if you look up complications of it, that's one of the things that it's going to teach you about.
And again, it's not that it wipes out your whole entire... It doesn't have to wipe out
It's not going to wipe out your whole entire immune system. However, it has the ability to weaken you, right? When you are already weak. So imagine you've gone to the battlefield, right? Yeah. Your army, like a percentage of it, is wiped out, right? The soldiers that you have are already tired and exhausted, right? But now you have a new wave of something else coming at you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. If your watch was even like,
Yeah, exactly. 12:30 p.m. Couldn't say anything else, but it's like, let me scream out the time. All right, Jules, you want to go into complications?
All right, So complications. All right, so complications, because as we've said, measles is not just a rash. It's a lot more than that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's a system-wide wrecking ball, pretty much, especially for young kids, pregnant people, and those with weak immune systems. So like, you know, cancers, anything chronic like that, diabetes, things like that. So what can it trigger? So it could trigger pneumonia, and that's pretty much the number one killer in measles cases when we're talking about they pass from a measles complication or whatever. Mm-hmm. Number one would be pneumonia. Next one would be encephalitis, okay? This one, encephalitis to me has always, always freaked me out. Like meningitis, encephalitis, anything of inflammation of the brain.
Yeah, because it's terrible.
Yeah.
Right? It is scary. It scares you because it is scary.
It's, you just mentioned the itis of anything of the brain. I'm just like, woo, that's a problem. So like I said, inflammation of the brain causing seizures, deafness, or intellectual disability, anything. Okay, you don't know what an encephalitis can do to you until you hopefully get through it. There are bad cases that will leave permanent damage. Then you have diarrhea and dehydration, as she had mentioned, because it hits the gut pretty hard too. Blindness, okay, because your vitamin A deficiency, if you even have it, can get worsened because of it. And then, yes, we will get to the vitamin A of it all.
Vitamin A is really important for eye health.
Okay? Exactly.
It has it. It's really important in people that are deficient in vitamin A, aka not in the US, thankfully, because we are not a third world country, okay?
Yeah.
Which is why, like, when someone comes to the United States and they go to their, they come to me, they're like, doctor, any vitamins that I should be, like, putting them on? It's literally their first question. They're like, I want to give them some vitamins. And it's because
it makes sense,
in other places, they do not have that nutrition. Mm-hmm. So they have these deficiencies that, absolutely. Calcium, rickets is a huge thing outside of the United States. There's a lot of things, right?
Right.
So, yeah, vitamin A is important for the eye. So measles, okay, does have more severity when you have a low vitamin A, right? And then you can suffer more complications when it comes to, like, eye disease.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's pretty scary too. To get it from, like, measles.
What? And I'm looking at all these complications. Yeah. Pneumonia.
These are serious complications.
Pneumonia? It, yeah, if you're lucky, you can just take a couple antibiotics for a few days, okay? But pneumonia, it is scary. These are your lungs.
Well, people die from pneumonia.
Yeah, people die from pneumonia all the time. And you have to have procedures. You can have necrotizing pneumonia, which is literally your lung tissue is dying, that surgeons have to go in and remove, okay, that dead tissue, because then that can cause an infection as well, right? So it's all these things. So encephalitis, the diarrhea and dehydration. And let's not go far. People are probably like, when does that happen? Yeah, okay, again, lucky that you live here and you've never had a cholera infection.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But people with cholera, that's like
death.
Death, exactly. Yeah. And then blindness. It's all these things that I'm just.
From measles.
For what?
Yeah.
And then you have these, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, these Miami moms, okay, on the Facebook group, and they're saying, I'm not scared of measles and I'm never going to, my kids are not vaccinated and I'm never going to vaccinate it. Love your friendly anti-vax mom or something like that. And I'm like, you are so stupid.
It's like if it's a fad.
It's like a fad. And I'm like, you're so stupid. You're so stupid because we just heard news about a little girl dying from measles complications and you're out here showing off. Like, if you should be proud of that.
Okay. So, do you feel like you could never get ahead of your charting?
Imagine if I lived in a world where I never had to think about notes.
Exactly.
Freed AI enters the chat.
Yep, because it's an AI scribe that's built to free physicians everywhere from this endless note-taking of yours.
It listens, it transcribes, it writes instant clinical notes, and it even writes it in your style, which I think is really cool.
Oh, yeah. Because you know that sometimes AIs could sound a little weird, but not here.
And it works for different specialties, too. It's not just one specific specialty, so it's across all specialties in office visits and telehealth visits as well.
Written in your own style, and it's ready by the time that your visit is over. So all you have to do is copy it into your EHR, whichever one that is.
And don't worry, it is HIPAA compliant. Okay, of course. So definitely safe and secure to use.
It only takes seconds to learn. I mean, come on, you don't have more time to learn something new.
Exactly. Over 17,000 clinicians are already using Frida AI, and that includes physicians, APPs, therapists that are basically saving 2 hours of their time charting with Frida.
Now you could just have that amazing feeling of getting home, and you don't have that looming
over thing your head, pajama work.
Going just to do what you want to do best, because Frida has already taken over all of that work for you.
You can start your free trial today, and no credit card is needed for the free trial.
Yep. Just use code FUNNY, that's F-U-N-N-Y 50, to get $50 off your first month when you subscribe. Check out Frida AI. And then one of the most horrific ones here in this list, although all of them are pretty horrific to be like complications from this virus, it's SSPE, so subacute sclerosing, what?
Sclerosing.
Okay. Panencephalitis.
Panencephalitis,
yeah.
Pan means
everything.
All. Yeah, pan.
Like panacea. Like,
so it's not just one part, it's the whole
thing. The whole thing, yeah. A rare but fatal brain disease that develops years later, essentially your brain melting from old measles infections.
Yeah.
Infection.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Awful.
Just that alone, I'm like, give me the vaccine right now.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting years later for my brain to melt.
Yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Even if it's a rare, no, I don't want to know. I don't want anything to do with it. Yep. Whatever. So if you thought that measles was just a get a rash and then you just move on and maybe a little cough or this and that, little sniffles kind of disease, no. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit more about what this SSPE is. So it's the medical equivalent of a horror movie sequel. It really is, because you forget about it. You're living your life.
Or imagine you living your life knowing that you had measles, and then you're just like waiting 7 to 10 years to see if that thing is going to come back.
No. So yeah, it happens when bits of the measles virus sneak into the brain during the initial infection, then somehow stay dormant. It's like a little sleeper cell in there, mm-hmm. waiting for its moment to come out. The virus fragments hang out quietly, sometimes for 7 to 10 years or even longer, slowly wreaking havoc in the brain cells. And you're just not even aware of it.
Yeah.
Eventually, the virus decides to wake up and launch a full-scale neurological breakdown. So what does it do? It progressively destroys the brain. Emphasis on progressively. Yeah. Okay. So little by little. It usually starts with subtle personality changes, like a kid who suddenly becomes forgetful, clumsy, or withdrawn. Just like your personality just starts morphing little by little. But then escalates quickly into seizures, dementia-like symptoms, loss of motor control. So your ability to walk, to talk, or even swallow. Blindness, coma, and then eventually death, usually within 1 to 3 years after those first symptoms start.
Yeah. And again, it's progressive.
Just
in case people are confused, this isn't like you're going to have another episode of measles and then you're going to be better again. No, this when it hits you again, it's just a progressive neurological destruction. So yeah.
And there's no stopping it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no stopping this. This is like talking about Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, like yeah. This is just
you may be a lucky decline. You may be lucky, maybe in 7 to 10 years we might have some sort of treatment to slow down that process,
but
who knows.
Yeah, nobody really knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your brain is being slowly dissolved piece by piece. And who's at risk? Well, kids who got measles under age of 2 seem to be at higher risk, though it's rare even in them. It's more common in places where vaccination rates are low, because more kids actually get measles, meaning more chances for the virus to linger in their brains.
Yeah.
So why is it scary? There's no cure. There's no antiviral. There's no treatment. There's no miracle drug. By the time the symptoms appear, the damage is irreversible.
Yeah.
And it's almost always fatal. Though there are a tiny handful of cases where progression slows for a while, but still, you're eventually going to get there.
Yeah, exactly. And again, who knows? Science is advancing. Who knows what kind of treatments we're going to have out there in the near future or later on in the future.
But do you want to bet for that?
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of betting here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of betting. There's betting that you're not going to die initially with an acute infection, or you're not going to die from a secondary infection, then you have to live 7 to 10. Can you imagine coming out of measles and you're like, I'm technically not out of the woods just yet?
No,
for
you'll
7 to 10 years
in a really bad set of woods if you get there.
Yeah,
if it did. Oh, anyway,
yeah.
So researchers still aren't totally sure why some people's immune systems fail to clear the virus completely, while others recover just fine. Again, that's the thing. Like, as she was saying, the survivor bias. Everybody's different. Everybody's immune system is different. Just because one person survived it doesn't mean the other person's going to survive it just fine and not develop something like this. Mm-hmm. Or develop something different or whatever. Everybody's different, guys. It may have to do with the mutations in the virus or subtle immune deficiencies that aren't obvious at the time of infection. Either way, once it starts, there's no off switch. So yeah. Once this SPE starts, that's it. This is one of the biggest arguments for getting vaccinated, obviously. Even if a child survives measles and looks perfectly healthy afterwards, they could still develop SPE years later. There's no way to predict who will get it.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Like, it's just wait and see.
Yeah.
And even if you hear someone say, well, measles isn't that bad, this is a perfect time to remind them it's not just about the rash again, okay? Because everybody's always like, oh, it's just a rash and a cough. It's just no, you know, it's not. It's about a time bomb virus hiding in your brain, potentially waiting to pull the measles revenge trigger afterwards. Yeah. So, like, guys, just that alone for me, I'm not risking my kid. I'm a mom. She's a mom. I'm not risking for my kid to have any, to be anywhere near that. I don't care how rare it is or anything like that. There's a vaccine against it.
Yeah.
Done.
I just think about, like, think about, like, as an insurance.
Yeah.
If you buy something that's so expensive, worth your life.
Yeah.
Let's just put it into,
right,
like, a perspective.
Absolutely.
Right? And someone, you know, someone tells you, you know, this can happen and this can happen and this can happen. The first thing you're going to tell yourself, well, how can I, okay, prevent that from happening?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they give you some sort of insurance, right? So if something, it's prevent, you're covered.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Right? So here we are. We have something, right? And we're telling people that this and this and this can happen. And they're kind of just like, I'm just going to risk it.
That's a perfect analogy for this because it's exactly like insurance. People have health insurance, car insurance, home insurance. Like, we have all sorts of insurances here in the US. So how...
And then I know there's going to be someone saying, well, it's not 100% effective, the vaccine. The chances of you getting measles if you are fully vaccinated is super rare. Yeah. It is super rare.
And don't you want some sort of protection?
You never say never, because if you're in medicine, you will agree with me that nothing is textbook. And I've seen miracles, and I've seen really crappy things happen to people, mm-hmm, really rare things, and that you're just like, what are the chances, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you've experienced that, right, and you've seen that, you're going to be the first person to say never, okay?
Yeah.
However, if you look at the data, it is extremely rare that someone fully vaccinated will have a measles disease. That is why we were able to eradicate it. That is why we didn't have a death in a decade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Oh boy.
And also a lot of SSPE, mm-hmm, gets misdiagnosed.
I can see how, yeah.
Because you're just looking around for like other neurological disorders and, you know, it's hard. I cannot imagine it being like one of the first things that people ask. It's like, did you have a childhood disease? Like maybe when you were younger or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if you think about it, like a lot of these things, like the perfect analogy for like this type of thing in a less lethal form is like you have chickenpox, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a child. But then in your adulthood and then in later years, you could get
shingles.
That's,
yeah,
you could get shingles,
which we're gonna talk, well, that's kind of like SSPE.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a perfect analogy of how these viruses work.
Yeah,
so it's
basically that the virus kind of stays kind of dormant. Yeah,
until a moment, and then it comes up, and shingles is horrific.
Yeah.
Huh.
Thank God.
Yeah. No. I mean, my mom had shingles. She's had it like now twice or something like that.
Did you have varicella?
I had the vaccine.
I had varicella.
Yeah, I had the vaccine, and I know that thing works because when I first saw my mom had shingles, we didn't know what it was, and I would put the cream on her. I was touching it, like,
yeah.
And then after that, the doctor was like, "You did what?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, that was a couple of days ago." He's like, "You're vaccinated, or you had chickenpox?" I'm like, "I'm vaccinated." They're like, "Thank God." They're like, "You're gonna get shingles," and I'm here like,
"Yeah."
No, I never got anything. I never got chickenpox, and I never got shingles. So that one,
I remember having varicella. I still have scars. Like, oh, I still have, like, I can't remember what side it is, but I still have scars from, like, the actual...
The pustules
that came up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I never had it. Mario did, but I never
like
had it.
Like, on my nose, like, here.
Uh-huh.
Do I still have it? It probably has makeup on it, but I have, like, scarring, like, really? On my nose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, like, the scarring is nothing, right? Yeah. Like, that's not the problem. Yeah, but I actually do remember the fevers from it because of how high it was.
Mm.
I do remember, and I remember I was really little.
Yeah.
But I do remember, I don't have a lot of memories from when I was little.
Neither do I.
You know, not like three, you know, like I don't really remember when I was three. But I think I had varicella, like around 3 to 4 years of age, and I remember being really sick.
Right.
And the fevers were awful.
Yeah, no, thankfully I never had it. That one vaccine is still kicking.
That's good.
It's still kicking.
Good for you.
It's like... All right. Anyway, so yeah. Now let's talk about the other thing that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to measles.
Yeah.
Take it on.
I know. So we're going to talk about immune amnesia. This is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love immunology.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really hard class.
I remember you hating it.
It was so interesting.
I know.
And when you sit down and you like learn about immunology.
At your own pace. Like
at your own pace. That's the thing, and maybe different. You don't like not getting down to the molecular biology of it. But immunology is so cool.
It's so interesting.
It's so interesting how your body creates memory cells, how it reacts to something. All the different types of things. T cells, B cells, natural killer cells. Like all these things that your body has to fight. Listen. The body's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. It really is.
All right. So most people think that after you have measles, right? Like an infection with measles, that you're good, you're recovering.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about immune amnesia now. Okay. Mm-hmm. And also, just for people out there, it's not just about the rash and the fever the first few days. Usually people that have measles, they're feeling it for months.
Yeah.
It's not like you just recover and all of a sudden you're like back to your regular self.
Yeah, like a common cold.
You feel awful. You feel awful for a really long time after.
Well, because it wrecks, it does havoc to your immunity.
Everything in general.
So your whole body is trying to like.
People talk about like eye sensitivity, like they have eye sensitivity for like months after.
Oh my God.
But anyways, so basically these antibodies that you have that are kind of ready to fight any infection that you can still be exposed to every single day.
Right,
okay?
Right.
But they're basically not there anymore.
Mm.
Okay. And this is what the measles virus does. It basically wipes out a portion. And we don't know. That's different in everyone, right? But a portion of your immunity.
Like the percentage of your immunity.
During a measles infection, the virus infects and destroys memory B cells. So your memory B cells, those are the ones that your cells that if you have a second infection, you've already had it in the past and it gets you again. Your body's like, I remember you. I remember how to fight you. I have the people that are going to fight you.
That's literally what happened with me with the chickenpox.
Yes,
exactly. So that's a great example right there. Exactly. Like I was touching the pustules and I didn't get anything because my body probably was just like, eh, eh, eh.
Yes, exactly. So let's just say you have a nasty bug over 3 years ago. Your memory B cells are going to remember that bug. It's going to recognize it and it's going to say, I've seen you before.
Get out.
Get out. Yeah. Get out the snoop.
Get the chancleta.
Yeah. Vete. Vete. Sal de aquí.
That was perfect timing.
Yeah, no.
Vete.
Vete. Sal de aquí. But anyways, measles wipes out about 40 to 70% of those memory cells. 40 to 70%. Okay.
Again, you don't know where you're going to land.
Where you're going to land. And it might be less than 40 and it might be more than 70.
That's just an average.
You
like,
know? It's just an average. It's like a range, right? Mm-hmm. But it's gonna wipe that out. Can you imagine years? Just think about how many times you've gotten sick.
Just 40%.
Just think about how many times you've gotten sick
with a stomach bug. with your cold,
a
with
cold, cough,
the
congestion,
numerous
things.
Amount of flus that are out there. Yes. There's millions of flus. You've yes. probably bought
strains, different strains.
That's what I'm saying. Like the you strains, know? You probably collected and made a big library of so many flu strains.
Yep.
Gone.
Yep. So basically, you lose that. You lose about 40 to 70% of your B cells.
40% okay? is a large freaking percent.
It is a large percent. It is a large percent. So again, you lose that, and then your body forgets what it fought before, right? It almost has to start from scratch, okay? Mm. And
of course you're gonna feel shit.
Just yeah, and because you just had a bad infection, you're already in a weak state,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is like when those secondary infections mm-hmm. come in. After your measles recovery, your immune system isn't, you know, it's not that it's like starting basically from scratch, but it's definitely weakened. So that's when you're going to be more at risk for those secondary infections, okay? It basically forgets how to fight viruses. It forgets how to fight bacteria. You lose that protection from the vaccines that you already had. Those vaccines that you did as a child, the point of those vaccines is to make these memory cells.
Yeah, yeah.
You lose that. Everything that you just did for years, you just lost it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then this is why measles survivors, even in wealthy countries, often get seriously ill with other infections months or even years after.
Exactly. Because you're now trying to rebuild everything that you lost.
So you basically, with measles, you just became almost kind of immunocompromised.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
This is obviously a really big deal because even a common cold, a stomach bug, or anything that can really be kind of serious because it's almost like you're battling everything firsthand again, okay? And then obviously there's like a real world impact on all of this, right? So studies show that measles survivors are, one, more likely to die from infections unrelated to measles for up to 2 to 3 years after infections. There's a higher risk for bacterial pneumonia, ear infections, diarrheal illnesses, and even if you already had that immunity before, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
It's not just that you got measles and you survived it. No, mm-hmm. you're going to have a tough time. You're going to have
years.
A tough time for years. Yeah.
If people don't, I feel like I've heard nobody talk about this.
Mm-hmm. They don't talk about this.
Not until I sat down and started writing on this did I know even about the amnesia, immunity
I think because
amnesia. Of
we're
it all.
So focused on
of course.
The initial infection and
yeah.
oh my God, and there's a breakout and all these
yeah.
things, right? But then you kind of lose, the media kind of loses
yeah.
that follow up.
For sure, for
okay?
sure.
But yeah, after, right? Mm-hmm. I bet you anything. If someone were to have measles, whatever, they didn't vaccinate, they chose not to vaccinate, they got measles, they recovered, and they got some stomach bug, I bet you anything, these are the same people that are going to be like, yeah, but maybe I was going to get that stomach bug anyways.
Oh, no, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
There's going to be zero accountability there.
Those
zero.
People will never admit that they're at fault for anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And you know what this...
Maybe not. I'm not saying that it's like 100%,
yeah.
but chances are, yeah.
But I wonder... What is it going to look like in a couple of years from now?
That's what I'm saying. And that Texas outbreak was like, they were saying upwards of 100, but really in reality, it's most likely more. Like
yeah, because those are just the reported.
Yeah, those are just the reported.
Ah, boy.
However, now we're going to talk about
yeah.
everyone saying, well, it's better to get the natural immunity instead of the vaccination. Right?
Totally.
So let's get sick with measles because that's going to really give you a better response.
But let's okay? go back to how things were 100 years ago.
Yeah. So the MMR vaccine, it's considered a live attenuated vaccine. So attenuated. Attenuated means that it is basically killed off, still kind of live, but killed off so that it does not cause.
Yeah, measles.
Measles. Okay. However, because it's just a better, it's going to give you a stronger immunity against it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I just give, when we administer a vaccine, we administer like a portion of something, and that portion, think of it, I don't know, like a button.
You have a pin.
I'm going to create antibodies. Everyone, every virus, every bacteria, everyone has these different combination of buttons, right? Mm-hmm. No one is the same. Mm-hmm. So every time that you're exposed to this thing, right, your body is going to create these memory cells. They're going to register that, right?
Right.
So that if it's ever exposed to someone that wears the same buttons as that thing,
okay,
right, yes, it's going to pick that up.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So it's like a combination.
Yeah. We call those like epitopes and things like that. Right. It's just basically something that we use to, or our body uses to recognize something.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay.
Now, a lot of these vaccines that we give, like diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, hep B, all these other vaccine preventable illnesses, we are using those epitopes and things like that to present to our body, right? They're not live, right?
Right.
We're just using parts of it to give to our immune system.
Right. It's like those little flags.
We're not getting the whole virus, but we're giving it a piece of it that's like very recognizable, so that if it ever happens and you do get that, your body's gonna be like, I might not recognize you entirely, but I recognize a piece of you.
Chancleta.
Vete. Vete. Vete para allá. Yeah. Get out of here. Get out of my garden.
Or they'll just be like,
yeah. I can imagine just like our immune system, like
being exactly like
get
that.
Get the guns ready. Get the guns ready. I don't know. He looks familiar. I don't think I've seen him before, but I think something is going on here. That's literally how it works, right?
Exactly.
But now it's even better because a live attenuated vaccine, okay, is going to give you a stronger immune response.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is why you may feel like a little crappy, like after the vaccine, because your body's actively like recognizing it and lightly fighting it.
Yeah. And it is noted like a stronger vaccine, right? Because it's a live attenuated vaccine. So no, we're not going to give these to cancer patients that are going under chemotherapy.
Of course, right.
We're not going to give these to immunocompromised individuals. We're not going to give this to pregnant women, right?
Yeah.
Because you are technically immunosuppressed, right? We do not want to give you a live attenuated vaccine, okay, if you are already immunocompromised, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So because of this immune amnesia, it's not only the spread of measles. Now, if you're in this community, and let's just say a certain percentage, like a good percentage of the community has this immune amnesia, then if one person, I don't know, gets like rotavirus, right? For massive diarrhea.
What a mess.
Then everyone is going to start feeling these symptoms again.
Oh boy, what a mess.
Now I'm thinking of all the things, because you wiped out all of that herd immunity that was already like established.
Isn't it crazy when you start thinking about this?
It's like the domino effect.
One shot prevents.
The huge domino effect that it'll cause. Because then that means that all those people now are immunocompromised, and then you're just welcoming in a slew of other things to just infect them.
Yep.
And then that'll cause, because it's, let's say it's 100, right? The 100.
Yep.
Those 100 people are immunocompromised. So they are ready and able to take on all of these other illnesses, all these other infections, spread it amongst each other. Oh, it's like a mushroom.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's horrific.
It's awful.
What a nightmare.
So now we're going to talk about the era of vaccinations.
Yes. First, we're going to go ahead and show you some prevalence, right? Right. To just give you guys perspectives on this. Pretty much the rise, the fall, and the ridiculous comeback.
Yeah.
That's making right now. So
let's start off pre-vaccine.
Yeah. There's two eras. Pre-vaccine era, right? So before vaccines, measles was very common, unfortunately, in the 1950s before the vaccine even existed. There was an estimated 3 to 4 million cases of measles every year in the U.S. alone, okay? Around 48,000 people were hospitalized annually because of this. Talk about also a huge stress on community hospitals.
Yeah.
On healthcare that's already stressed with just common everyday things.
Yeah.
Then you're going to add this wave.
You know?
400 to 500 Americans died from measles complications every year, mostly young children. And guys, it's children.
Mm-hmm.
But can we protect our kids?
Yeah.
Can we just do that?
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a mom's point. Anyway, now let's go to the vaccine era. Measles nearly disappears. Then came the MMR vaccine in 1963, and measles cases started to collapse, right? So faster than a bad relationship on TV. Like,
yeah.
I heard that there's a new Love is Blind. Have you seen it?
I'm currently watching it, yeah.
Damn it, I need to catch up. Gabby's the one that told me. She's like, have you seen it? I'm like,
I think it's Minneapolis, right?
I don't know. I didn't even know it was out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had no idea. And Gabby's like, what the fuck? You know,
you have to watch Love is Blind Argentina. So good.
Really?
Yeah. Saucy. Spicy.
Well, I mean, it's Argentina.
It's Argentina.
Anyways, okay, back to this horrific thing. So countries with high vaccine coverage saw cases drop by 99%. That's huge. And like, when you hear 99% in science, that's just like pretty much complete.
Yeah.
You can't say, you always have to leave like a 1%.
A 1%, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So by 2000, measles was declared eliminated in the U.S. That meant that there was no continuous transmission. The only cases were imported from travelers who brought it back from overseas. Globally, measles vaccination programs saved more than 23 million lives between 2000 and 2008, according to the WHO in 2023. Measles was pretty, pretty much eradicated
mm-hmm.
here in the U.S. Yep. It's just, and then now we had a death from yep. it.
After 10 years. We hadn't had a death in 10 years.
Let's talk about something that is incredibly frustrating to both of us and to many healthcare providers. I'm not a healthcare provider, but many...
And a lot of families. A lot yeah. of families. Like, yeah. It's not just for us.
Yeah. It's just for families mm-hmm. that see this for this side of it and not, like, the anti-vaccine side of it. So vaccine hesitancy.
The science side of it.
Exactly. So the vaccine hesitancy that we keep, unfortunately, hearing about it, and it just keeps freaking growing. And this is like the 21st century plot twist of this all. Enter the anti-vaccine movement, a swirling mess of misinformation, distrust, and pseudoscience, because that is what it is. It's pseudoscience. Largely fueled by, go back to our autism part one episode.
Yeah.
We really focused a big portion of it on this quack called Andrew Wakefield,
yeah.
unfortunately, which just ignited this fire, unfortunately, in 1998.
I don't even know how he sleeps at night, but anyway.
Because he's a narcissist that truly, truly believes in his own yeah, lies.
Exactly.
That's how. He closes his eyes and falls asleep like if nothing.
Yeah.
Because he truly believes in his own bullshit.
Yep.
Anyway, so parents in wealthy countries, especially in parts of the U.S., Western Europe, and Australia, started skipping vaccines. Clusters of unvaccinated kids formed, creating pockets where measles could easily spread, even though the rest of the population was protected. Recent outbreaks, as we've heard, but let's go ahead and start in 2019, which was a record year for measles in the U.S. with 1,274 cases, the highest since 1992. Outbreaks happened in unvaccinated communities, particularly among religious groups, which is apparently, according to the reports in Texas, it was, what was it?
It's like a Mennonite. I think it is a Mennonite.
Yeah. Yeah. Most outbreaks happen in unvaccinated communities, religious groups, anti-vaccine enclaves, and under-immunized travelers. So Europe saw tens of thousands of cases between 2018 and 2019 with outbreaks in France, Italy, and Eastern Europe, often tracing back to vaccine hesitancy.
And then not only that, but then COVID happened.
COVID just threw a wrench at everything.
Everything. So no, COVID virus does not have a direct, like the actual virus is not causation. No.
It's like the culture that it perpetuated.
Exactly. Yeah. The culture that it perpetuated, especially because of the new COVID vaccine. And also because of COVID, no one was going to their doctor's appointments. So a lot of these kids really did not see their physicians for a really long time.
And they missed their vaccines.
Which missed vaccines and all
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had mentioned it in autism that there's the scheduling and whatnot. So yeah. that schedule went out the freaking window
yeah.
when COVID did such a freaking mess, man. And so many things, economics, health, everything.
Everything.
Just everything.
Health, wellness, all those things.
Yeah. So current global hotspots, Africa, countries like Nigeria, Ethiopia, and Somalia have seen massive outbreaks due to gaps in immunization. Europe, as you've seen, because she has...
I have a big European population that comes to my clinic.
So countries with rising vaccine hesitancy, such as Romania and Ukraine, have become measles hotspots. And I mean, Ukraine right now is going through a lot too, so I can only imagine. And then now, unfortunately, the United States, with areas with low vaccine uptake, like certain religious communities, are at high risk. So, yeah.
And just, you know,
I just hate that we're going backwards instead of forwards. Like, what the hell is this?
And then it ties back to what we started the episode with about mm-hmm. mentioning how, like, now the CDC is going to start, like, having these studies again on the MMR vaccine. And it just, okay, how can I explain it? Yes, that is good. I don't think anyone will ever be against studies like that.
No.
You know?
That's why I'm
sure. Do it. Okay. But here's my problem. We're going through this really harsh stage right now, mm-hmm. okay, where we are experiencing a lot of defunding in a lot of important areas, okay? Mm-hmm. And vaccine studies exist already. They exist already.
So many of them.
They exist. We're exhausted of trying to talk about these studies. Yeah. So now RFK, out of all the people, has his agenda, because, guys, he has his own agenda, okay? And now they're going to study this again. Okay, fine. Dude, you want to study it? Bro, have fun, okay?
Yeah, that's what I say,
But here's my thing. It's, you're kind of, the reason why he's studying it is because he's still, mm-hmm. like, behind the fact that the MMR vaccine is toxic, and the chemicals in it, and all these things, and the autism, and all the bad things about it. This is why he's doing those studies, okay?
No,
it's not because he's like, you know, guys, we have a lot of money, and, you know, we should study this. And no. He's doing it, and that's why I'm just like, well, who's funding this research?
Yeah.
Right? And I know that, like, the CDC and all those things, but it's like, truly, like, when you look at it and they have to disclose all those things, they have to disclose any kind of financial benefit, mm-hmm. who was sponsoring the studies, are there any biases, right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting. However, I'm a little bit concerned because he has skewed a lot of results in the past. And he was questioned about it when they were doing his confirmation hearings, right? He was questioned, and he interprets information really poorly, to the point where authors of the research studies that he was trying to cite were saying, actually, no, that is not at all what my research was saying, right? So imagine you work so hard, research is so hard,
yeah.
and you dedicate so much time. Imagine you dedicated so much time and you got some really good information from this research.
Yeah.
And here comes some asshole from the United States, okay? Because it's true,
I know.
Right? It's,
I know,
like, dude, you're giving us a bad name,
yeah.
right? Here comes some asshole from the United States completely misinterpreting your study.
Yeah. No, right? I understand completely. And that's why I'm saying, like, there's these two avenues that I see... Like, everybody talking about, right? When it came to this step was published yesterday everywhere on Reuters, whatever, CNN, everybody was talking about it, like, oh, but there's a new study from the CDC happening with autism and blah, 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 blah.
So it's like voicing this thing. So now I'm gonna have patients like, yeah, but did you see that they're studying it?
Exactly. Yeah, so no. It's for sure. But I understand exactly that. There's a lot of people on that avenue of like, how the hell we're wasting taxpayer money, where we're disinvaluing, like, all the other research that's been continuously done for so many years,
and
so many of them too. But then there's the other avenue that but it's a hopeful one, you know, of like, I'm hoping that this is done with no biases and it could just shut up everybody. Like, it because it's the leader of their freaking little group doing this. And if it is done correctly, then it could get everyone to shut the hell up about it. And that's my hope. I know.
Jules is like, I think I need more of your positivity.
No. I'm not being positive. I'm just trying to
I think what you're saying is that the core of research, like,
exactly.
True,
if it's data, done, if true it's data. Done for real,
yeah.
and not by bias, you know, not by being paid off, not by it being biased, you know? With no bias, true science being done, conducted in the CDC by true scientists with no biases, just looking at the actual fucking results that they're going to come out with. If that is truly what's going to happen out of this study, which that's another thing. It's already happened. And how long is this one going to take?
We've already had studies like this. Exactly what Jules said. We've already had studies that show this. Okay.
So if it's done accordingly, yeah, correctly like that, then it could be the only way to shut everyone up.
Yeah.
But again, I'm only hoping for that scenario to happen.
Yeah.
I'm only hoping for that. Then there's the other aspect of it. Yes, they'll come out. This will come out with like correctly done, et cetera, et cetera. Then how are people going to actually read this? Yeah. Because people don't know how to freaking read studies correctly.
No.
And like media RFK will grab onto
like
everything.
RFK. Oh, sorry. I just hit my mic. Yeah. And that's RFK, yeah. And is vitamin A common? Now everyone over is like, oh, vitamin A. We have to. Did I say vitamin K or vitamin A? I think I said vitamin K. I meant vitamin A.
Vitamin A.
Yeah. So now everyone and their mother is like, oh, vitamin A. And my doctor's never prescribed me vitamin A. Yes, because the chances of you being deficient in vitamin A is really, really low, probably here in the United States. You are not a malnutritioned person.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So stay tuned for part two, because we're already an hour 10. So this is going to have to be a two-parter.
Dang.
So stay tuned for part two, where we're going to be talking about more of this. And then we'll obviously be closing this episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. We'll see you on the next one.
I have allergies. Okay. We'll see you on the next one.
We'll see you on the next one.
We're going to keep recording, because I'm like,
yeah.
Bye.
Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.